Hey everyone, welcome to LifeBridge Online. Whenever it is that you are watching this, we are grateful that you are joining us online. I just want you to know that we just prayed a few moments ago that God will strengthen you as you watch this from the comfort of your living room, or if you're driving down the road listening to this. We are praying that God is going to use this message and every message that you listen to strengthen your walk, so that you can, as we all should be striving, become like Jesus, as we are instructed to do. That's what this journey that we are on is all about. It is about this Christian life, us becoming like Jesus. And so, church, whether you're in here, in the building with us today, or online, we are praying that prayer for you. You know, it seems every week now that I need to share with you about our house. We've been distant, and I haven't been able to have these conversations with you, and I just feel that I need to share these things with you. We're getting settled in, only a few boxes left. Things are really starting to come together. But I gotta tell you something. I'm a little disturbed by something not even 2 months in yet. As a matter of fact, we are having serious conversations about selling the house. Okay, maybe not serious conversations yet, but we are having some conversations about selling the house. And I'll tell you what it is that disturbs me. Snakes. We have seen 3 snakes so far. When we were remodeling, and this should have been a warning, when we were remodeling, we found a snake skin in one of the walls in our house. Found another one in the yard this week. As a matter of fact, it was a little too close for comfort. It was at the base of my front porch. Now, I'm no herpetologist, but I believe it was just a chicken snake. But in my book, a snake is a snake. They're all equal and they're all evil. Now, I know, you people are going to tell me, and not all snakes are bad. And here's the deal with people. People seem to land in one of 3 categories when it comes to snakes. Some of you fall into the category of, oh, it's part of the ecosystem, and it's a good snake. It'll kill rodents, and it'll kill bad snakes, and you need to keep these kinds of snakes around. That's some of you. Some of you are like, oh, look, it's a snake. Move it back to the woods where it belongs and just kind of leave it alone. But then some of you, and I believe that this group of people are more godly than the other 2 groups, you think that the only good snake is a dead snake. And you're going to argue with me. I know you snake advocates up here, you're just like, oh, yeah, snakes are good, you're all wrong. Let's just get a biblical perspective about this. Can we do that for a minute? A biblical perspective about snakes. In Genesis, God spoke to the snake and said, "You will be cursed more than all other animals on earth." God, snake. You will be cursed. God removed the serpent's legs. You will be cursed more than all other animals on earth. And don't miss this next part. God says this. God says, man will crush your head, and you, snake, will try to bite him. So you snake fans, you are messing with the very curses of God. Please be warned. I believe that we, as mankind, we have an obligation to the Bible in this regard. Man will crush his head. So back to my house. So every time we go outside, we are on edge because we've seen these snakes. Now, we've lived in this house now for just a little over a month and a half. We saw a snake early on, and after that, every time we would walk outside, we would use caution. We would be, you know, walking around. We were making sure, hey, we're looking to see if old No Shoulders is laying around in the grass somewhere. But you know how it is. After a couple of days, you don't see any snakes. That leads to a couple of weeks. You start to feel more and more comfortable to the point where, hey, we've let our guard down completely. And then last Monday, this happened. I was on my front porch, and I jumped off the front porch because Dion Brown is discipling Griffin, and they had been spending some time together, and Dion was dropping Griffin back off, and I jumped off the front porch, and I almost stepped on this. Again, I'm pretty sure it's a chicken snake and not some venomous viper, but nonetheless, once again, we are walking around the yard with this heightened sense of awareness. And so today on Sunday, is the first day that Amanda and Stella have actually been outside since this happened. Griff actually had to escort them to the car. We stay alert now, walking around outside. We are alert. We're walking around. We're looking. We're paying attention. Is there a snake out there? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Actually, we're going to start in verse 7, and we're going to read 7 through 9. Let's read this together. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. That's comforting. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Right? So we're not going to talk so much about verse 7, but some of you need to hear verse 7. You should probably reread verse 7 a couple of times, but we're going to start this in verse 8, where Peter gives us some perpetual advice, right? Stay alert. Like, this is an ongoing, keep this up. You should always be staying alert. And he's talking about, of course, Satan. Now, I know I've talked about snakes, and Satan is often referred to as a snake here for some reason, and it's an important detail that we need to gather. Peter uses a different analogy. He says, stay alert, for the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Now, I know in my life, I'll be honest with you, as we, I hate it when people say that. I try to always be honest with you, church, but for emphasis sake, I'm going to be honest with you here, right? I don't take the warning, the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, very seriously. I just don't. And truth be told, I believe that we live in a time where we do not take sin seriously at all. Peter is warning the church who's facing persecution, and they're going through a difficult time, that even in this distracted season of life that they are in, they must be aware of Satan prowling around. Here's why Peter is giving us this warning, church, because God hates sin. You know, I read somewhere in my studies this week that sin is actually the contradiction of His nature. God and sin cannot exist at all. They contradict one another. You know, that little white lie that you told this past week, you know, to make yourself look better, or, you know, to maybe to get you out of potential problems. God hates that little white lie. Or that gossip of your neighbor that is shared with someone as a warning. You know that, hey, I really think you ought to know this about such and such. God hates that type of gossip. God hates sin. And so the warning is, stay alert! Exclamation point. And I want to tell you, I don't believe the exclamation point gives enough emphasis for the weight of this warning. We have to at all times stay alert, or we take the chance of being devoured. Now, I have actually seen this firsthand. In the literal sense of a lion devouring its prey. And I don't mean on the National Geographic Channel or something like that. I have seen this firsthand. As a matter of fact, I want to show you a couple of pictures. And I'll warn you right now that one of them is graphic. Now, before showing this picture, I did send it to a few mothers and asked if it was appropriate and if it was okay for me to show you on the screen. They said, yes, it was. So these pictures are from one of the safaris that I've been fortunate enough to go on with some mission trips to Africa. This first picture, this is known as the Cape Buffalo. They're everywhere when you go on safari. You'll see them all over the place. In this particular picture, do you see the calf in this picture? You're going to see that calf again in just a moment, but under different circumstances. Actually, it's under a bush. I was on safari this one time, and our guide that we were with, we were tracking a lion. And so we're driving along, and the guide kind of sits up front, and he's looking around. He's looking for the signs. He sees what's going on, and he sees these lion footprints in the sand. So we stop. We get out. We look at it. We're checking things out. And he finds this lion. And this is the lion. This one right here. Yeah, the one. This is the lion that we were tracking. So our guide tracked this lion for us. We followed him in the truck. So the guide's there. We followed him for a while. And then our guide spotted some blood near these lion tracks. So we followed the blood trail. And as we're going along, our driver is explaining to us that the lion has made a kill. There's a significant amount of blood. There's other evidences of it that the lion has made a kill. And what he would do with this kill, since it was kind of the middle of the day when lions are normally resting, he would drag this to a safe place. He would gut it. A lion would actually gut it. He would eat some of the animal, but he would stuff it somewhere and save it for later. We actually found evidence of this. So as this picture of the lion, and this lion is actually charging our vehicle here, as this is being taken, we are unknowingly parked next to the calf that was killed. It's a little graphic, so be prepared, but here it is. This is what an animal looks like who has been devoured. Let that sink in for a second. Because this is what Satan is trying to do to you spiritually. Go back to the picture of the calf and the mama. You see this calf? Just completely unaware. Just following mama. Walking around, you're not paying attention to life. You get comfortable. And before you know it, before you are aware, you are being preyed upon by a roaring lion. And this is the sin trap that we as Christians are certainly familiar with. Tell me if you recognize this cycle. Tell me if you have lived this cycle before. As a Christian, you know, there's these times when we have these spiritual highs. Maybe you've just heard an outstanding sermon, probably from another minister, or the celebration was amazing, or you went to a week of camp, or you went to some conference, and you're just on a spiritual high, and you get back to your home, and you're motivated. You want to read a little bit more. You're praying a little bit more. You're journaling. Man, you and God, you're tight. You're close. Man, it's a feeling that you never want to end, but then the high wears off. Due to most likely busyness in your life or procrastination, you start to ease up on the reading. You start to ease up on the praying. You start to ease up on the journaling. Other disciplines, they vaporize. They're no longer there. And inadvertently, you fill your mind with other sources of information. And you live in this mode for a while. Then, out of nowhere, in a moment, sin slips in. It's a moment of weakness. Maybe it's a habit from old, something that at one point in time you partook in or you participated in, something that you now regret. Maybe it's something new, something in the heat of the moment. For most of my life, once sin slips in, it usually hangs out for a while. And the truth is, it becomes more and more frequent. And it always leads to destruction in my life. It always leads to regret. It always leads to harm on some level in my life. And Peter, speaking of sin, he warns us that we should be staying alert, always being on the lookout for Satan to creep into our life to attack. That's a perpetual thing. That should be always going on in our life, that we should be staying alert. But then he gives us some more advice that we cannot overlook. He tells us that we need to stand firm. Stand firm. We're not to run and cower away from Satan, but we are to stand firm in our faith. And so I want to share with you for a few more minutes three things. Three things to help you stand firm against Satan. You know, a friend of mine shared these with me a few years back. And one of the things, and I didn't realize this as he was sharing with them, they all have two commonalities. You'll see what I'm talking about. The first thing that you need to do to stand firm against Satan is to recognize. That's right. You need to recognize. How do I recognize the schemes of Satan? You know, you think about the history of Satan working. You think of the encounter of Jesus and Satan. Well, Jesus knew who he was. He knew who the adversary was. And so I don't know what that exactly looked like, but Jesus knew what to expect and what to look for. And I think of Eve. You know, Eve had this serpent that just started talking to her. I don't know of any other animals talking to her. So the fact that there's this snake walking around on little legs at one point in time and whatever that looked like, Eve had the luxury of a serpent coming up and tempting her. You and I don't have that luxury. We don't have the luxury of, oh, here comes a literal lion looking to prowl on us spiritually. We don't have the luxury of a serpent so that we can identify, oh, here comes Satan. So we have to recognize what this looks like. Is that difficult? I don't think so. But here's the thing about the sin nature. Okay? Here is the thing about the sin nature. Galatians 5 tells us that the sinful nature is obvious. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And for most of my life, I have been fully aware that I was doing wrong. I was in the act of doing wrong. I knew that I was wrong while I was participating, while I was giving in to that moment. The beauty of the Holy Spirit is that it lives in us. And it allows us to have that feeling of guilt. And here's the truth, unfortunately, for most of us. We simply choose to ignore that feeling. We simply choose to ignore that feeling. We compromise in our faith. And we go along with the sin. But we have to recognize that the Holy Spirit is there. We have to recognize what sin looks like. And God has given us the Holy Spirit to do this because the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Look at 1 John 2:27. If you have your Bibles, flip over to that. But you have received the Holy Spirit and He lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what He teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as He taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Now look at with me at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. A final word, he says. Be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Here's the truth when it comes to recognizing what this looks like. All right? As we're going to stand firm, we have to recognize. We best recognize the schemes or strategies of Satan by knowing God's word better. You know, when we were riding along with the tracker, looking for the literal lion, when we were riding along with the tracker who was looking for the lion, he never once got off track because he, the tracker, knew all the signs to look for. And he led us straight to where the lion was. As we better know and understand God's word, we will better recognize the schemes of Satan. So the second thing we need to do to stand firm is we need to respect. Now, that sounds odd to say about Satan, doesn't it? We need to respect what he is capable of. I say respect Satan like you would electricity. Personally, I don't like working with electricity. I've been shocked too many times. I'm capable of doing some very basic wiring. I can change out a light switch, not just a light bulb, but a light switch. I can change out an outlet. I've even changed out a few light fixtures in my lifetime. But I want you to know, I go to extremes to make sure there are no loose wires. I go to extremes to make sure that breakers aren't just turned off, but they got tape over them and there's no way that they can actually come back on. I check and I recheck. I've got every meter known to man to test and make sure that there is no electricity running through the wires when I get ready to work with them. You have to know what the enemy is capable of. That's why we must respect Satan. We must respect what he is capable of, because the moment you quit respecting it, you start to get comfortable and you get shocked. In any competition, the moment you lose respect for your opponent is the moment they gain a competitive edge. Look at verse 12 again in Ephesians 6. I want you to read this a couple of times. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Our fight, church, isn't against some rookie deceiver. Okay, our fight is against an adversary that has mighty powers in this dark world. It is against evil spirits. This is serious, and so you better respect Satan and take him seriously, or you will fall into his traps. And here's the truth about respecting Satan. As we better know and understand God's word, we will better respect the schemes of Satan. You catching on, aren't you? The third thing to help us to stand firm is that we are to resist. That's right, we're to resist. We should put up a fight and we should do everything we can to get rid of Satan. You know, I don't just ignore the snakes that are crawling around in my yard. I take care of them. I don't ignore them. I resist. I push back. We too should push back when Satan tempts us. Our weapons are the Word of God and prayer. And our protection, as Paul tells us, is the complete armor of God that He gives us. We resist Him in the faith. That is, our faith in God. Check out Ephesians one more time. Verse 10. I want to read this again. I want you to be familiar with this. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Verse 17, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I love Paul's attitude towards Satan's schemes here. He tells us that we are to stand firm. We are to stand our ground. We are to stay alert. We are to be persistent. This is certainly not a passive attitude towards sin and the sin nature that we are familiar with. And so, church, I say this, as we better know and understand God's word, we will better resist the schemes of Satan. So as we close this morning, I want to encourage you to do two things that will help you best recognize, respect, and resist. You do these three things, you're going to stand firm against the schemes of Satan, against the lion that is prowling around. But I want to give you these two action steps today. Obviously, one of them is to know God's word, right? I mean, I said that on each one. Know God's word. This is why we have emphasized the spiritual disciplines of study. That's why we are teaching you through our 1 Peter, as we're wrapping up this series today, how to study the Bible, how to feed yourself so that you will know God's word. This is why we do our life groups with the repetition that we do. This is why we story, we rebuild it, we read it, we discuss it so that you will know God's word. We as a leadership desire for you to know God's word, not just to be familiar with it, but to know it. Look, morning devotions are good. I'm in a series, I'm doing some things right now that we're probably going to do next year that fall in line of the morning devotion category. All right? Morning devotions are good. Praying is good. But taking time to study, and I get it, I know, that's the key. Taking time to study will help you most. If knowing God's word is number one, then this next one and this final one, and we're almost done, is 1A. I want to encourage each of you to be in a discipling relationship where you can fight spiritual battles together. You need to be in a relationship with someone who you can share struggles with. Someone that you can be accountable to. Someone that you can actually talk about the things that you are studying. You can even study together. I cannot stress how important being in a discipling relationship is. Peter goes on to say that as we stay alert and as we stand firm, we will share in His eternal glory. And church, that makes the fight worth it.